down as time pocket collapsing. Now turns to Barnes, intercepted. Darius has got it in the 30. He's on the run at the 25. Darius outside 20. At the 15. At the 10 inside. Darius levels. Gets on his feet at the 5 and forces his way to the 1. Oh my goodness. Donovan Darius fighting all the way to the 1-yard line. There's the snap. Pressure is coming. Marino is going to be hit. The ball is on the field. The Jaguars have recovered the fumble by Dan Marino.
Tony Brackens finally at the end of the game does his thing, strips Marino, and knocks the ball loose. Welcome back, Tony.
FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and David Garrard.
All right, everybody, welcome in. Jaguars Today on the call. Nolan Cadillac, Friday, Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL 92.5 FM. What's up, Big Dave? How are you?
What's going on, guys?
No love for Dave in the highlight package right there, by the way.
That's all right. I'm a double D fan.
Had a little love for Donovan Darius, who's going to be joining us coming up in about 30 minutes or so here in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. We all got to see him last week. We all know who we're talking about here. You've been ready to see Blake Bortles get in the lineup. He's going to make his first start this week. Let's look back, in your opinion, your impressions of him coming in the second half last week. What impressed you, and what mistakes did you see, and just the overall impressions of how he played?
Well, first of all, the good. I loved his energy. I loved his playmaking ability. You could see he could use his legs. He could use his arms. His ability to focus on the defense and to know where the open guy was going to be, as a rookie, as a guy coming in second half cold, that kind of stuff. I just love the way the ball started flying out of his hands. The offense started moving finally. There were things to get excited about. He threw some touchdowns, but then he had some bad plays too. You could see times where he was not really staring guys down, but trying to force it too much, trying to make the big play happen too much. And I think once he, you know, has a week of practicing with the ones, he knows that certain throws are on the line now. He won't be trying so hard to make all those big throws to make that big comeback.
You'd rather have that, though. You'd rather, wouldn't you, in a young quarterback, at least I would, the over-aggressive, make those mistakes because you are aggressive and take those shots and balance them out by making big plays, right? Rather than, let's be timid, let's take care of the football at all costs. I mean, that's great that you take care of the football, but you got to make plays as well.
Yeah, there's timid, but then there's, you know, let's be smart, you know, because okay. He has to learn that too, because at some point you got to learn to be smart. Everybody always gets on Jay Cutler for trying to be the rifleman, throwing it in wherever. Yeah, he's going to have, you know, three or four touchdowns thrown, but he's going to also have three picks, or he's trying to hold on to the ball too long, have a couple fumbles. So you have to learn as time goes on that I have to be smart with the ball. I have to have calculated risk here. There are times where you do want to make those throws, but then you don't want to have a night like Kirk Cousins had last night where you think you can throw every ball into tight windows, and you can't. You know, you have to check it down sometimes.
Was he even trying to throw it into tight windows last night? I mean, honestly, that was some of the worst.
It was so bad.
I mean, you want to talk about protecting the
football. Yeah, it was so bad. You know what? And this is what happens. As a quarterback, you throw one interception, okay, I can get over it. But when your next throw is an interception, now you think every time I throw the ball, it's going to be
someone's
an interception.
Gonna pick it.
And you start checking it down a whole lot. You start checking down too much. Even when you do have open guys, you're checking down. And it was just in his head. I mean, it's hard. You try to forget, but when you throw too many of them, it's just there, and you think every time it's going to be an interception.
Do you remember your first start? You remember the week leading up to it?
I just remember my first start. Everything else was a blur. I remember it being Colts week. I remember they already being in the playoffs, so the question was Peyton and the guys going to play? Of course, they played them. And I just remember it being a fun time. I remember my jersey getting ripped in the game as might have been like Peterson, somebody who was a teammate of mine years after, ripping my jersey.
Mike P came after
ripping my jersey. He was talking so much junk in that game, too. He told me, you better stop trying to run the ball. I'm going to take your head off.
Is that right? was that Mike Peterson on a week-in, week-out basis, though?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It really was, and he was consistent every time. And he made the plays all the time, too, which is really cool.
Do you remember your stat line from your first start?
I didn't have the best day. I had, you know, a buck 30 somewhere in there passing.
Buck 35.
My
very
completion
good.
Percentage was pretty decent, I think.
It was right on 50%.
Okay, decent.
Look, I put it
for a
this
rookie.
Way. There have been four rookie starters at quarterback. Blake will be number five for the Jaguars. Four rookies have started. None of you won a game, by the way. It's just the nature of the position. Yeah. 50% is a pretty good completion percentage in this group, I'll have you know, all right? Jonathan Quinn was 12 of 27. Gabbert was 12 out of 21. Leftwich managed 17 of 36, so he was just right around 500 with you. And, of course, you went 13 for 26, buck 35. You each threw a touchdown. You threw a couple of picks. Byron threw three. Quinn threw a couple. I mean, they're amazingly similar stat lines, considering, you know, different teams, different personnel, different years.
The thing is, usually when you have to bring in a rookie quarterback, the team's probably not doing all that great. So there's probably not a whole lot around you. It's not like they're putting you in a Super Bowl.
Understood. Hey, look, brother. I mean, that's 135 more yards than I'll ever have. I am not knocking your performance. I'm just trying to highlight how difficult it is.
It is.
To come in your first start in the National Football League and win a football game.
And it's going to be even tougher for Blake going across the country. That's just tough, period. Even when you're just picking games, you know, think about when you're picking games, when you see an East Coast team or a West Coast team have to travel to the other side,
right.
You usually go with the team that's at home. And so it's going to be tough, but, you know, I think there's just something about Blake. He has the ability to find that open guy. He's going to have his moments when it's not going to be pretty. But he still uses his legs great. He's great when he's on the run. So I still see him having a pretty, probably better game than the rest of us.
You want to be able to sit in the pocket, go through your progressions, obviously, and click, 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 and then the play breaks down. You escape the pocket.
Yeah.
Try to extend the play. But he's got some schoolyard in him, doesn't he?
Yeah,
I mean,
he does
have a little bit of schoolyard in it, which is not a bad thing. And, you know, we saw it in evidence last week with that reversal of Fields going to roll left, rolled completely back the other way. Just one example of that. But, you know, I think as a young quarterback, you want it to be perfect. You know, you know better than I know, and any of us know how imperfect it can be.
Let me tell you, I had Marcus Stroud, Paul Spicer. They all would come up to me when I was having my first starts back in, say, 04, 05, and they would say, hey, man, if you don't like what you see, use those legs.
Right.
God gave you those legs. Use those legs. Keep that chain moving. I'm telling you, defenses hate that. They hate a mobile quarterback that can throw from the pocket. But then when things break down and they've got everybody covered out there, you take off and you change the whole look of the field. Now they don't know what to do. Now they're scrambling when your receivers are like, oh, I know what I'm doing. I'm following my quarterback, or I can take off. So there's so much more to a mobile quarterback than a guy that just has to sit in the pocket. Now, if you have to sit in the pocket and you got a great arm, great offensive line, and weapons out there, I mean, then you can definitely pick them apart. But when you can change the field and the defense has no idea what you're doing now, the timing is broken down, they're lost.
Nothing worse, one of the bad things about watching football as a fan is when you've got that team in third and long, and you're rooting, and you've got everything coming, you can tell, and there's chaos, and all of a sudden, tackle him. No, tackle him, and, you know, and there he goes, and, you know.
Quarterback just squeaks out.
Just
and,
extending those drives
exactly.
Time after time. So you, if Blake came to you and said, David, what can you tell me? What can you tell me that is timeless about making a start as a rookie in the NFL? What advice would you give him?
Just that, to use your legs, if the pocket isn't looking good, if your first two reads aren't there and you have to escape the pocket, that's a great thing. Even he does a great job of escaping the pocket and keeping his eyes down the field. Continue to do that, but then also just keep those chains moving, because that's what he wants to do. If he keeps the chains moving, the percentages go up, astronomically for you to be able to score a touchdown. Whenever a quarterback scrambles, and I forget what the percentages were, but my coach has brought this to me. If you scramble four times for a first down on a drive, it's almost automatic that you're going to score points or score a touchdown on that drive. So whenever a quarterback can do that, it just demoralizes the defense. So they're just out there like, man, we've got everybody covered. and this guy keeps taking off. They just, they start dragging. They get frustrated, and then you're able to pop a touchdown throw on him or a run on him.
How did you think the rest of the offense played around him when he got in there? Compared to, you know, obviously in the first half, Chad Henne managed 33 passing yards. The offense was doing absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Short end of a 30-0. Did the line play better, or does it look better because you've got a guy who can escape pressure? You know, the one he rolled into likely would have been a sack of Henne right on the spot. I mean, how do you judge that?
Well, I can tell you from my times being the backup going out there, you could almost just see and feel the energy from your team. You could just feel it increase because they're like, all right, here we go. Here we go. You know, when it was Byron, you know, they loved to play for Byron. You know, he wasn't the best guy in the world to always be around, but, you know, he was still the starting quarterback. Hey, let's go out here and play for him. But it was just different. When I got on the field, they knew that Dave's about to use his legs. Dave's going to get us out of some situations that he probably shouldn't get us out of. He's going to help us out here. And no, your offensive line doesn't always like to know that you're going to be at the same spot every time because they know the defensive line knows that too.
Right.
And that puts a lot of pressure, a lot of stress on guys who might not be that great. And so when you can help them out by getting out of the pocket, now they're like, okay, Dave, you're pretty much on your own now. We've kind of done what we had to do. That helps them out. It allows them to just go out and just try to maul guys, but know that, hey, Dave might not be there. He might escape and do something crazy and do something that gets the crowd going. Like the way Blake, I said it on the show last night, the CBS 47. Action Sports.
Go right ahead, Action Sports, CBS 47.
I said it on the show last night. I said, man, it really reminded me of myself. Like when you're rolling out and guys are there, you're like, you know what? I think it's pretty clear on the other side. Let me go that way. And he was probably trying to use his legs just to keep the chains moving. But then he saw his fullback out there in the flats on the sideline and just, you know, just threw a nice little lob over everybody's head. That's great. Those are plays that not every quarterback can do, but when you have one that can do it, man, I mean, it just really changes the offense completely.
How much more are you looking forward to watching Jaguar football this weekend?
I am so much more interested.
I mean, is it no matter what happens, and they're a big underdog going to San Diego. Nobody's really expecting them to win because this is a team that just 2 weeks ago really handled their business, a dominated time of possession against Seattle, which may be the best team in the National Football League in this venue. So,
well, I think this is a great situation for Blake because nobody's expecting him to do anything.
Yeah.
And so he can just go out there and say, you know what, hey, guys, let's go out here. Let's have some fun today. Let's make some plays. There's going to be some times when it doesn't look that pretty, but just stick with me. We're going to keep chugging along. We're going to keep trying to make the plays necessary to put the ball in the end zone. Let's give our fans back home something to be excited about moving forward from today.
Just remember how difficult it is to play quarterback in the National Football League. Last week, Blake Bortles would have thrown for about 450 yards if you had spread that out.
Yeah.
That's about what Kirk Cousins did last week. And see what he did last night.
Yeah.
So, week to week in the National Football League, just because you did something doesn't mean you're going to increase that effort the following week. But who is not excited to see kickoff of the Jags and the Chargers this Sunday coming up at 4:05? And you'll catch it, of course, right here with full coverage all day long on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. David Garrard is here. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, will be joined coming up in about 25 minutes by Donovan Darius as well. He's just won a sports Emmy. About that, man.
That's amazing.
Keeping up with the Joneses here, man. What have you won lately over here, Mr. Garrard, other than your East Carolina Pirates laying waste to the rest of the college football world right now?
Love my Pirates.
I know you're not upset about that subject matter. All right, if you want to get in today, 641-1010 is the number. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight asking you, as we do every Friday, give us those three keys to victory for the Jags. What do they have to do to earn that first win of the season coming up this weekend? We'll get into it today. Plenty of Jaguar talk and your thoughts as well. Ryder Cup USA leading 2.5 to 1.5 with the afternoon matches ongoing over in Scotland right now. And the Euros leading 1-1 in all four matches that are out on the course right now. We'll keep you posted on that as well throughout the course of the afternoon. Agent Gibbs is in producing today. This is Jaguars Today on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, Jaguar football lives here. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, happy Friday to you, brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac since 1905. Claude Nolan has served as the preferred Cadillac dealer here in Northeast Florida with the largest selection of new or pre-owned Cadillacs in Jacksonville. Absolutely no dealer fees at Claude Nolan Cadillac. And by the way, they're the only Cadillac dealer in North Florida to sell and service the ELR. They've got an on-site body shop. They'll paint and repair any Cadillac model. Claude Nolan Cadillac, guaranteed to offer the highest level in customer care and service. The elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac, only a step away. You can build your lasting relationship by logging on to ClaudeNolan.com or visit them at 4700 Southside Boulevard, 642-5111. For Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor here on Jaguars Today. Have you seen those hats that some of those Euros are wearing, Tony?
Yeah.
On the side, they look like, what do they look like? They look like giant balloon globes on their heads. Have you seen that on the side? I mean, the big things that look like the overinflated beach balls?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with those Euros, man. But we're down in all the matches right now after a stirring United States-dominated morning with the comeback victory by Mickelson and Bradley over Rory and Sergio. You see the hats I'm talking about?
I see what you're talking about.
Now you see what
Please
I'm talking about.
Please don't bring
here.
That to the States. That is not a good look.
You can keep your vuvuzelas and wherever they originated from. Was that a South African origination with the vuvuzelas?
I don't know if it was an origination. That's where
it became
the World
popularized,
Cup became,
right?
Yeah, a beehive, yeah.
Yeah, the beehive. All right.
They were awful.
I love the Ryder Cup, man. I love it. Yeah, that's about how I remember back in the day. Are you a Ryder Cup guy, Dave?
I watch a little bit, but I'm not
that hardcore about it. I love it, man. This may be my favorite sporting event. It doesn't happen every year. I do. I love it. I mean, you know, the Super Bowl, it depends on what teams are in it. You know, sometimes you get a blowout. This is, our team's always in it. You know, it's good old USA,
no,
baby.
Sorry.
Maybe
if Tiger was in it, I would.
Maybe if Tiger was in it, all right. Well, play better, Tiger.
pretty much.
Maybe next time. Everyone's already mad at Tom Watson after Spieth and Reed went out and blitzed the field this morning, and he's not playing them in the afternoon sessions. The young guys, the guys who have legs, play those guys. Come on. 641-1010 is the number. Dave, defense for this football team, some changes in the starting lineup this week. The issue, as you well know, there's no cavalry coming to save you in the middle of an NFL season.
No, and you can make all the changes you want. That just means you're going to guys that weren't your opening.
You didn't think were good enough
exactly.
to begin
and
with.
And you're
right.
pulling them off practice squads, so that doesn't give anybody an excitement. It was just really sad to watch last week because there were guys so wide open. The drop touchdown by Fleener, I think it was. I mean, our jumbotrons are huge, and I still didn't see a Jaguar
in
the picture. I mean, it was sad, and you never see that. Not in an NFL football game where guys are wide open on just about every catch. And I didn't understand it. I didn't see the reason why guys were wide open. They were just wide open, whether guys were falling down the whole time or whatever it was. It wasn't good football. It wasn't good defense. And the one thing that we felt coming into the season was we're going to be able to hang our hat on our defense. I mean, you could see in the preseason,
right?
We're getting sacks. We're getting pressure. The first half of the first game of the year, we're thinking, okay, defense is for real. The defense is for real. And we haven't seen them since.
And if they played to that level, if they had played to that level, even if you lose all three games, and the vision you had in your head was, okay, they're going to keep the team competitive. These games are going to be of interest into the second half, and then you're going to get an opportunity for these young guys to develop on offense and hopefully catch up with those guys. Right now, there's no catching up needed. I mean, they're as bad as any unit in the National Football League just based on the stats through the first 3 weeks of the season.
They're almost worse than the offense, and that's hard to do. I mean, you know, so when that is supposed to be your calling card is your defense, your defensive head coach. You made all the free agent acquisitions in the offseason for defense, and they give you kind of a glimpse of we can be pretty good, and then they just steadily get worse. I don't understand why. your front seven has to get more pressure to help out that secondary, because clearly they're not the best group of guys to stick with the receivers the entire time.
What about the tackling? How do you improve tackling in the National Football League? We'll ask Donovan Darius that too when he joins us in about 15 minutes. I mean,
you got to be in position and you got to have the want to. You know, sometimes it's just a man being a man and saying, I'm going to get you down. If I get my hands on you, if I get you wrapped up enough, I should be able to get you down. And you just didn't see that. You just saw guys running through arm tackles. But first of all, they were so wide open. And if you're open receiver catching the ball with room, now you can make a guy miss. Now you can run through an arm tackle because guys aren't in position. And you have to be in better position on defense. You have to have guys in their lanes where they're supposed to be. When the running back, I heard earlier this week, when we made Trent Richardson look as good as he did in that game, I mean, you could tell we were doing pretty bad on defense. And there were a lot of just missed tackles because guys were running through arm tackles. That's telling me that you're not in position. You're not where you should be at the point of contact.
When you hit big plays as an offense, when you're the quarterback of the Jags, how often was it a case of you're exploiting one guy who's making a mistake? Because we hear that a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
Ten guys play it right, and that one guy gets over-aggressive, out of position, and that's all it takes to hit the big play.
When you find a DB that is struggling or doesn't have good time, I mean, you know it going into the week, that going into that game, this guy right here struggles turning on outbreaking routes. He struggles, you know, on deep balls. Whatever it is, you find that guy, because usually the other corner you're going to stay away from a little bit more. Usually he's the dominant corner if a defense has that. But if everybody is suspect, now it's just who do I want to go to? Now
pitch
and catch. Yeah, now you can just think, well, whoever I feel like is going to get open, because what the defense is giving me here, I can, you know, throw it without any worries about who I'm throwing against. And that just appears to be what our defense is. There's nobody on that, in that secondary that makes you think, I don't want to throw at him. You know, not saying there's a Richard Sherman type guy, but there's not anybody that gives you any fear. Not anybody that makes you say, I need to work the other side.
What can you do? And I know you're an offensive guy, but what can you do when your defense is just allowing easy completion after easy completion? I mean, is it a case? Do you just say, you know what, we're getting beat this way? Do we have to just mix it up? Do we have to get more aggressive? Do we have to send pressure? Or is that just going to make it worse?
You know, you can send pressure, but your pressure has to get there. Your pressure has to be effective. And if you're sending pressure, but nobody's getting there, nobody's moving the quarterback off his mark, nobody's hitting him, then he's really going to have a field day, because now you got less guys back there in the secondary and you've got holes. And that's what every quarterback wants. We want you to pressure us to pick it up. And now I can just throw into those holes that you guys are avoiding out there. So, yeah, you want to send pressure if you're not getting it with just your front four or maybe a fifth guy. But I think you have to be able to disguise your coverages better. I think when you're not good at pressuring, you have to be able to show one coverage and it kind of morph into a different coverage. And the quarterbacks say, I don't know what they're running out there. I can't tell. The Baltimore Ravens did that for years where, I mean, Ed Reed, great safety. So it's tough to go off of it. But I'm telling you, he would have deep third, and he'd be almost at linebacker depth sometime at the start of the ball, and he would just take off and just have his head swerving around, reading the quarterback, running away from you, and you're thinking, oh, I can get this ball on a deep go-around over here.
He was a unique guy, though,
he
right?
was, but he had the flavor to be able to say, you know what, I'm not just going to stand here at my deep third position and let you know what I'm doing. I'm going to go move around a little bit. The same guy in Pittsburgh, I don't know why his name is.
Troy Polamalu.
I mean, he just, they move around so much that you can't really get a good beat on what they're doing. And then the corners play off of them. So they try to also give that little bit of disguise too, where they're playing in the flats. They're playing cover two, but they're 10 yards off and they're baiting you to throw that hitch route or baiting you to throw that five and under. knowing that all I'm doing is driving downhill nonstop, whatever you're going to do. If you throw something short thinking you've got it, nobody. No, I'm taking to the house. So those are the kind of things you have to do. But when you're a secondary that is playing a little timid, you know guys are kind of picking on you some. You don't want to do that. You're trying to be in position. You're trying to be right there exactly where you're supposed to be. You might give a little bit of a body lean, but we know what you're doing.
How it does it, you know, like you were talking about last night with Kirk Cousins, it gets in your head when you throw a couple of interceptions in a row. You give up a couple of completions in a row. You, as a quarterback, have got to be like, I've got this guy spinning.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a good example of that. Last year when I was with the Jets, D. Milner, he's a rookie. We were playing the Patriots, and Tom Brady just kept throwing hitch after quick out, everything right in front of him. Then he did a double move on him, and I had to go because you could see this guy going into the tank. I go over to him. I said, hey, this is your chance to step up as a man and say, you know what? You're not just going to sit here and pick on me. Because I told him, I said, if I'm playing quarterback, I'm going at you the whole time.
All day.
So you're going to have to come up and be aggressive. Make a play, knock a ball down. He ended up getting a pick later on in the game, and making a few plays in the second half. But man, I'm telling you, you could just see Tom like licking his chops. Yeah, I don't even care what everybody else is doing. I'm just going at this guy the rest of the game.
What, I mean, are the Jaguars not, is it because they have such youth that they're not protecting on their side? You would think that in every defense, there's a matchup that you would try to exploit, regardless of who they're. Look at Washington, okay? Washington last night, Eli Manning just went up and down the field on him.
Did.
The week before, Philadelphia went up and down the field on him. This past weekend, I mean, but the Jags, you know, the Jags are getting sacked 10 times in that game. Washington, I think they got Eli once last night.
Yeah.
That gives them 11 through four games. 10 of them came against Jacksonville.
They didn't get any in the first and third game. It was just our game was the only game they got sacks in. It's mind-boggling. It really is. And it's hard for me to sit here and say the reason why that happens. Guys are just not playing up to their ability. And then if they were, I still don't think we have all the good pieces to say that we've got a quality offensive line. But your quarterback will make your offensive line look a whole lot better. Just look at that second half in last week's game. Blake is going to make that offensive line look better. Now, they're still going to have pressure on him. They're still going to sack him. But there's going to be plays that are going to be made, and you're going to say that would not have been able to have been made by Chad Henne. And that's just what Blake Bortles brings to the table, his ability to use his legs, to use that youthful energy, that youthful, you know, I don't know any better right now. Let's just go have fun, you know, and that's what's going to happen. And that's going to be infectious on that whole offense. His receivers are going to make some big plays. Look at Hearns, you know, breaking two tackles to get that touchdown last week. Those are the things that are going to happen because of this energy that Blake brings now.
And you know, as a receiver, your quarterback is going to extend the play. You got to stay alive longer.
Absolutely.
And it's fun, I think, in that scenario. I would imagine it is
it
anyway.
Is. It turns, like you said, it turns into a little bit of backyard football.
That's exactly what it does. We've got David Garrard. He can give you that quarterback's perspective on what Blake Bortles should be facing coming up this Sunday. And I hear the very loud Donovan Darius has
double
just arrived in the studio. Here he goes. they're comparing upper body strength right now.
Only Double D.
All right, simmer down, Double D.
He's going to drop down and do some push-ups.
He's got a big gold box over there. I don't think he brought breakfast either in that thing. We'll talk with Donovan Darius coming up. It is a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Donovan Darius, Fat Tony here with you on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, here we go. Jaguars Today, Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. If you're tuned in right now, you are a winner because you're listening to Jaguars Today. But we've also got some goodies for you. You got a pair of tickets to Jacktoberfest or Jackstoberfest for Saturday, October 11th. And if you'd like to get those, actually it's a four-pack, my bad, of tickets to Jacktoberfest, call 641-1010. We'll take caller 5 right now. And we'll hook you up with those tickets as we welcome in Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, welcoming in the Emmy Award-winning former Jacksonville Jaguars safety, Donovan Darius. What in the world is in that box?
Oh man, oh that thing surprised me when I got it. I was telling you guys a story. When they told me I won it, I didn't quite know exactly what it was, and so right before I opened the box, I actually Googled and said, okay, what's an Emmy? And I see all these actors and actresses holding up this big old gold statue and kissing it and ha ha. And I opened it up and saw my name on it. I was like, oh man.
Tell us what, but for folks who don't know, what did you win it for?
Right. So the NFL and the whole NFL.com and media, they found out that I do a lot of training and they saw a lot of the videos and training videos and they just kind of heard everything that I do. And so they asked me last year, would I come on board and be an ambassador by writing articles and then be associate producer of the program? And so I said, yeah. And what basically I write programs, I write training things for, you know, the regular public, Joe Blow, for athletes, and then I create videos for them as well. And so that program, NFL Up, actually was in a category with other different programs that do a lot of training, teaching, and, you know, kind of sports category. And we won a sports Emmy for it. And so
that is awesome.
I mean, it is, man. It's amazing to me. I'm my family's joking like, Donovan, okay, Mr. Emmy award winner, you know, but it's great though. It's amazing.
This guy, you know, as soon as you walked in, I stopped wearing tank tops when Dave started coming in with me.
All right. So for all the audience who's actually listening, let me give you a visual. You walk in, there's a lot of microphones. The lights are dimmed down. David's over here with his shake it weight. You know what I mean? Shaking like talking on the mic with a black tank top on, looking like Hercules. What in the world?
Don't believe any of that.
Listen,
guys.
A quarterback going rogue and strong now. Really?
Somebody took your training videos to heart. It appears, exactly. Over here, man. But
I was doing one on the way into the studio.
You guys
morning.
Look like they could, Tony. They look like they could be some kind of WWE.
Oh no, it's tag a tag team in here.
Tag team. No, hey, your Coco Beware.
Coco Beware.
Oh my goodness, man! Donovan, that's just absolutely amazing, man. I know you've got a lot of irons in the fire. You always do, and I don't know if I've ever seen you as happy about anything as I've seen you about winning this. And I know you're very proud of it. That's pretty just great stuff, man. And I know you do some work with the Jags as well, behind the scenes a little bit. Just give us a little insight from a defensive player's perspective. Mm-hmm. What do you see going on that side of the football right now?
Well, it's the tough part is kind of one of those things where Coach Bradley, he always says, do your job. But what happens when guys don't really understand their job and they're not even doing their own job. And so when we got all these technique errors and, you know, I heard you guys talking when I was coming in about guys being wide open, that should never happen. The system of the defense has basically everything, every area of the field, and everybody accounted for. And so when you start doing somebody else's job, or you're not really sure what your job is, you know, it really just opens up wide holes. I was sharing with David and a couple other people. I get a chance now, and this is my way of giving back to the game, and I love the Jaguars. And so starting last year, I started to mentor Jonathan Cyprian. So I would come in on certain days, we'll watch his film, I would encourage him in everything he's doing right, and from a safety perspective and, you know, a big brother, I will walk with him on different things that he can do differently. You know, so how quarterbacks are looking at him, everything from tackling to coverage to backpedaling to you name it, just pouring that in. And so this year we started again at the beginning of the season, before the season start. Unfortunately, got hurt in the next game. But to hear him come back and say, Donovan, you know, what we worked on, you know, in terms of everything from reading, you know, what I'm reading in my alignment, my assignment, my technique fundamentals. It helps them play faster. It helps them read things a lot faster. It helps them move slower from the standpoint that you don't have to be in a hurry to be anywhere. You need to be where you're supposed to be, and then you can attack when you're supposed to. And so last week, for the last 2 weeks, I got a chance to, you know, to talk to Josh Evans. And so now we're getting a chance to get that started. And the whole thing for me doing this is not for any recognition. It's because I love the Jaguars. I love what I do. I love being able to pour into the next generation the information I have so that they can go out and be successful. NFL is a platform, you know, for your career. The NFL is an experience for your career. And so if you can maximize this experience, you know, by being good, you know, sound on and off the field, I mean, great. There's great things that can happen for you. I mean, I'm a living witness today with the things I do with the NFL and even just this sports Emmy things that it can be a great asset for you when you know how to be a professional.
In the short term. Mm-hmm. What can they do to get better this week on defense?
I think what they need to do as they're looking at film, they understand, go back to the basics of the coverages. You know, and Coach Gus Bradley, when you watch the coverages, these are not complicated coverages. Cover two, you know, two guys deep. Cover three, three guys deep. Cover one, everybody has a man. When you take, when you bring it down to just your technique, what do I have to do? What's my alignment? What's my assignment? What's my what's my techniques? What is my reads? And how do I play the play? If you just break it down, this is not complicated. Football is still catching, blocking, tackling, running. Okay, and throwing the ball. So if you can do those basic things, you know, through 65 plays, which is about the average number of plays there is in the game, if you do that more often and consistently better than the other team, you're going to win. And so it's nothing complicated. It's the same. It's the techniques that you got to go back to, but you just got to do it. It's not about energy. It's not about who has the biggest swagger. It ain't about, it's not about who has the biggest heart. That's not about, I heard you guys talking about tackling. Listen, tackling, four things, leverage, angles, timing, and finish. If you have the wrong leverage, you're supposed to be inside out and you overrun them and get outside. Guess what? Now you're outside with another one of your teammates. Now the guy gets to cut back. If you take the wrong angle, then guess what? Now you're not going to get there as fast as you need to. Now the guy has 4 yards down the field, 10 yards, 15. If you don't have the right timing, you don't break down when you're supposed to, okay? This guy's going to run over you or he's going to run around you. And if you don't know how to finish, which is stepping to contact, hitting, ripping up, and, you know what I'm saying, and driving your legs and getting the guy all the way down versus arm tackling, then you're not going to finish. So these are really basic, basic techniques that these guys need to do. And then what I get a chance to share with these guys is about the fundamental importance of routine. This stuff happens in practice. On Wednesdays after practice, in practice, I would run all the way to the ball. I would tag off and get in position. After practice, I would hit the tackling dummy on Wednesdays. Thursday was pass days. I still run to the ball. I get in position. I work with the jug machine on Thursdays. Friday was called Fast Friday. That means everything is fast. I'm getting to the ball. I'm getting back to the huddle. Everything's happened fast. Well, after Friday, after practice, I come in the meeting room and I watch my film from all week. I also watch my other games that I play so I can see what I did right, what I did wrong. So I know how this team is preparing for me. Then after I do that, about an hour and a half, as I say, the hay is in the barn. I'm ready, mentally, physically ready to prepare. So when you have young guys that do not have that core veteran leadership, they're just out there trying to do the right thing, but they don't quite know if it's really adding up. And so that's what the importance of mentorship is, but that's also the importance of them understanding what works for them and going out and apply it.
I think one thing that I can say about Donovan from my time when I was with him early on, when he was talking about routine and doing the same things, he did the same things every day. There were times when, you know, I first got here, I'm thinking, who is this crazy guy out here on the field? He is, and you could find him in the same spot every day doing his little foot drills that he was always doing. He was always like kind of backpedaling and then charging up, backpedaling, charging up. And I thought, man, this guy is crazy. But when you saw him on game day, he was doing those same things in the game and he was just doing them in practice. He was doing them without somebody having to say, hey, Donovan, you need to go over there and do your foot drills where you come up and charge. He was doing them because he knew that was an important part of the game, and he knew that he'd need to rep it to get that muscle memory. Because after he left, you didn't see anybody doing that kind of stuff. You didn't see anybody coming out there 15, 20 minutes before practice to do their same routines over and over and over again. And I just think a lot of that is lost when you have a lot of young guys mm-hmm. trying to teach young guys. And then some of your coaches, yeah, maybe some of them played, but there's a lot of times where a lot of them didn't play and said they don't know how to teach those little routines like that that are going to be very valuable once it's game day. And I think a lot of that is lost. So I can definitely tell you that crazy guy out there on the practice field was doing that because it was making him a great DB.
I think that attention to detail has remained a part of your life, by the way. Yeah, that's pretty
evident. But I would say, too, you know, even for you, David, I mean, you know, coming here behind Mark, I mean, seeing, the importance of having a veteran, the importance, whether that person is on your team, whether it's somebody that you know, the importance of having somebody take you by the hand or take you by the side and walk you through, mm-hmm. you know, what this business of sports is and what it isn't. You know what I mean? So how was that for you having Mark when you came here, seeing what he went through and how he approached the game? How did that help you as a young guy?
It helped me out tremendously because it wasn't always just Mark. I tell guys all the time, Freddie T, when I got here, man, he would help me with plays in the playbook. And I'm like, you're a running back. I'm a quarterback. I'm the one that's supposed to know all this right. stuff. You just know how to run with the ball. But that's because he was a professional. Mm-hmm. And Kyle Brady, other guys like that, that would say, you know what? Hey, let's go in and just watch some film together. And I'm thinking, I'm supposed to be the quarterback pulling you guys in, but they're older vet guys that know, hey, if we want to be great, we have to make sure that our quarterbacks are on the same page. So then I took all that experience that those guys gave me and I started imparting them on guys that were coming in, you know, young guys that, had no idea of what it takes to be a professional. Because if you don't have that stuff getting passed down, then it starts getting watered down and you get guys out there just trying to play on athletic ability with no idea of what to do.
And see, hopefully what you guys out there hearing and then Mike is, you know, the leadership of the team is not so much an individual, you know what I mean? But it's a mindset and it's an attitude. And so when the team as a whole understand the importance of everybody has a role to play, then it starts to fester throughout. And so you always hear the saying, you know, we're only as strong as our weakest link. What we used to do is we used to have meetings by ourselves where we sit down and watch film and we'll go through the call sheet. This is the call. Everybody holler out in essence at, you know, each position, what they have in this position. And so now we get an opportunity to hear each other go through their mental routine in the film room in a controlled environment, and then go through the play. So this play right here, who has that? I got that. Okay. Who's in pursuit? I'm in pursuit. Where you at? Right here. All right. Good. Next play. So now when you get on a game field, even though the offense may tweak things a little bit, for the most part, the fundamentals are fundamental. If I got contained, I'm outside. If I got cover two, I'm the deep half. They threw this seam pass down the middle, okay? Or they have a guy run down the sideline. Who's there? Middle linebacker. I'm closing the middle, right down the middle. Safety. I'm on the outside, okay? Corner. I'm carrying this guy down. So everybody's hearing where they need to be. So you build that accountability before you ever get out there. And then that thing carries over also on the field.
From what you've seen, of Blake Bortles and just the half of football we saw the preseason as a defensive player, you're in the secondary. How much extra stress? Dave and I have talked a lot about it. We the mobile quarterback issue. He's a big guy. He's tough to bring down in the pocket. He's got that mobility. He's too young to be afraid of anything right now. We've only seen him play a half. I mean, how difficult of a matchup do you see him becoming in a very short time in the NFL?
I think he can have a direct impact. You look at a guy like RG3, you know, his first year. That's the great thing about a young quarterback your first year. You don't really know as a defense, you don't really know his tendencies yet. He doesn't have a lot of film that you can study. I mean, granted, you get into the last four games of the year, then these guys have a track record, and then it becomes tougher for him to just his energy, just his enthusiasm to really make plays. Now it's about him understanding the system, knowing where we need to go with the ball, because like David was saying earlier about Ed Reed, the ability to be able to disguise. See, guys can't really disguise if they don't know where they're supposed to go anyway. After the disguise, we call you disguising yourself out of coverage.
Yeah.
They say, Sid Hunt, you over here, like, where am I supposed to be at again? And so that's what's happening. Ed and all those guys, they knew where they need to be. So it's not about where he's at before the snap, but at the snap. Where is his responsibility? What we may have now, and I know you asked me about Blake, but what we may have now is we may have guys that are disguising themselves or just stuck in their position because they don't have the track record of being in that position to know what they do. This thing I was talking to Cyprian and Josh Evans, listen, landmarks. Get on your landmarks, whether you move to the landmark or, you know, you stay on that landmark front of snap. Be on your landmark because, again, it's statistics. The field is only 53 yards wide. If you got cover two, you cover half of the field. But if you're too far wide, then you got a gap. And then so with Blake Bortles, I think early on, you know, he may get people a little bit. But after a while, if they don't dwell together like Mark, like David and all those guys did where they met together, they talked. What do you see? I see this. Well, what if we do this? I'm going here. Bam. Now it's like harmonious. We're moving together. Then if they don't do that early, you're going to see a hit or miss inconsistency. But I think that with Blake, I got a chance to work with him up at the transition coaching up at the NFL Rookie Symposium and got a chance to talk a lot of things off the field. He sounds like a guy who really who's really taken this this opportunity, you know what I'm saying, by the horns, and he understands just from hearing his responses and just engaging that he's a humble player, he's ready to work, and I can see him turn things around.
Yeah, they talk about makeup when it, with a quarterback, and that's what they've raved about with Blake. You know, just the personality, the psychology, the plus the ability, and the leadership, and all the things that come with it. Seems like he's got them. Hopefully, he can turn that into some wins for the Jags sooner rather than later. The Emmy Award winning. Donovan Darius.
Emmy.
From now on, man, it's just, forget it. This guy's going to be insufferable, Dave. It's unbelievable. Donovan, we're so proud of you, man. That is absolutely
congrats,
phenomenal.
Brother, congrats.
These guys. Double D, great to see you as always. Again, congratulations, man. That's absolutely phenomenal. And hopefully the Jags get some success going on the field soon. And hopefully you'll come back and join us soon as well.
Be my pleasure.
Love to see you, man. There he goes. Donovan Darius with David Garrard. He'll be back with us here in a moment. We've got this date in football history, the Honda drive around the NFL, and a lot more coming your way. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday on Jaguars Today, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Good morning with your 1010 XL on 92.5 FM, Southeast Orthopedic Specialist, local sports update. I'm Andrew Gibson. Jacksonville area high school football tonight coming your way as the Bishop Kenny Crusaders host the Paxson Golden Eagles on 92.5 tonight at 7 o'clock. Episcopal will play host to the Trinity Prep Saints. That one also a 7 o'clock kickoff on 1010 XL. Followed by the Mike Davidson Ford Friday Night Lights postgame show hosted by Hacker and Fat Tony. That covers all the local high school football tonight following the ball games here on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. Turning now to the professional ranks of football, it is a Jaguars pregame Friday that is brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers. The Jaguars getting set for Sunday's matchup against the 2-1 San Diego Chargers in San Diego. And we'll get you set on Sunday with pregame coverage beginning at 12 noon with the Sawyer Gas Jaguars kickoff with Hacker and David Lamb. Kickoff between the Jags and Chargers is set for 4:05 on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. And college football coming up tomorrow. The Georgia Bulldogs back in Athens as the SEC opener gets underway between them and the Tennessee Vols. That is a 12 noon kickoff here on 1010 XL. And Florida State going to be without Mario Edwards Jr. and Mario Pinder against NC State, but quarterback Jameis Winston will start against the Wolfpack in Raleigh tomorrow.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, we'll get to this date in football history. Want to thank Donovan Darius for stopping by again. Check out David Garrard's Twitter feed. I'll retweet that in a minute, at DavidGarrard9, if you want a photo of Dave and Donovan with the dueling biceps and the Emmy Award in there. Unbelievable, Tony. Tony and I are going to have a flex-off coming up a little bit later on in the hour.
I don't think so.
Donovan Darius, simmer down. Donovan Darius. Get the cat out of here. All right, get the cat out of here.
The cat said that's a flex down.
Jacksonville has entered the studio. He was not invited. Get out of here. Donovan Darius in the Garber Auto Mall hot seat today. I think he was referring to the fact that the underneath part of my arm, I sag like an old woman.
I got to tell you, the cat, I don't think anybody in the building takes Casual Friday more seriously.
He's got a Captain and Tennille look going on today. Yeah. Muskrat Love, is that Muskrat Love you're doing? Is that U.S.
Ryder Cup, baby?
I got you. We got the Ryder Cup on right here. Can you get us Golf Channel on these TVs in the studio, though? That's the question. I don't think they get it. USA's down right now in 3 out of the 4 matches going on this afternoon in the Ryder Cup. All right, this date in football history. Again, thanks to Donovan Darius on the Garber Auto Mall hot seat. This date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. And on this date in football history, September 26, 1965, Baltimore running back Lenny Moore failed to score a touchdown versus Green Bay, ended his record streak of consecutive games scoring a touchdown. How long do you think that streak was, Tony?
Let's go 21.
18. Damn, that's a lot of games to score a touchdown in. My goodness, holy cow. Nah, couldn't imagine. I'm just trying to think, how many games will it take for the Jags to score 18 touchdowns this year?
Well, they got 2.5 with Blake. So I will go 5.
5. All right. That's
4 or 5.
That's somewhere. Confidence right there. This state in football history brought to you by the best fence company of Jacksonville. Their mission is to fabricate and install the highest quality product at a competitive price and still provide you unsurpassed customer service. Get a professional free estimate at your convenience at 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
All right, here's the latest bit of news regarding the Ray Rice video. A law enforcement official who doesn't want to be identified has told the AP that he sent a copy of the video inside the elevator to the NFL league office care of league security chief Jeffrey Miller. The enforcement officer said, quote, since the NFLPA and NFL have launched separate investigations into the league and the Ravens' handling of Ray Rice's case, I want to make a few things clear. No one from the NFL ever asked me for the inside elevator video. I mailed it anonymously to Jeff Miller because he's their head of security. I attached a note saying, Ray Rice elevator video, you have to see it. It's terrible. I provided a number for a disposable cell phone and asked for confirmation that it was received. I knew there was a possibility Mr. Miller may not get the video, but I hoped that it would land in the right hands. Miller, who is currently in London for this weekend's Oakland-Miami game, issued a statement of his own that reads, quote, I unequivocally deny that I received at any time a copy of that video, and I had not watched it until it was made public on September 8th. The New York Giants crushed the Washington Redskins last night to kick off Week 4 in the National Football League, Giants winning by a final of 45-14. Eli Manning throws 4 touchdown passes and runs for a 5th, while on the other side, Redskins quarterback Kirk Cousins threw 4 interceptions and added a lost fumble. So 5 versus 5 last night between the Giants and Redskins.
There's a lot of clandestine skullduggery going on with this whole tape situation here. I sent the burner phone number.
I know.
Right? I mean, honestly.
Yeah, that is.
But the one part that rings true, remember the voicemail that they had from an unidentified woman saying, you're right, it is terrible. This goes with this guy saying that what he wrote was, watch this, it's terrible. And that would seem to indicate that somebody received it, watched it. Hard to believe that someone in the NFL offices could receive that, open it, know what that is, and not pass that up the chain of command to the right person in authority, particularly since it is addressed to the guy who's the head of security for the National
right.
Football League. Apparently there are 2 guys who work in the league office with the same name. Okay? It is true. Sorry, I was reading the details last night. This guy didn't personally know the head of security. It's possible it could have gone to the other guy, but no one has claimed that they've seen this video except for the nameless, faceless voice on the other end of the line.
Well, who handles the mail up there?
I don't know, Dave.
You got to get it to somebody.
Apparently, working in the NFL mailroom is not a very prestigious position.
Or when it says care of, they're just like, whatever. Yeah, they didn't really mean it.
Send it to this guy.
And I'm not saying that you open up all your mail, like, you know, as soon as you get it, but at some point, you're going to go through your mail, especially when it's big enough to have some kind of package care of in it. You got to think somebody opens it up.
You wonder though, is it like we hear the tape? Is it like really a tape, or is it?
I am
like
thinking
a CD?
In my mind, I'm thinking VHS. So
I am
I'm
too.
Thinking
right?
Like,
it's probably not
it's
even
in
that.
The article. It was a DVD.
Was it a DVD?
Yeah.
So I mean, that could
then
be
say
flat
disc.
Package.
Don't say-
right.
You're confusing us all. Let's go to the Garber Automall Hotline. Welcome in Lee Sterling from ParamountSports.com. What is up, Lee? How are you, buddy?
Well, probably better than most people at the league office. Pretty soon they might start using the excuse to dog ate it.
You didn't see the tape before September 8th, right? Or whatever
no,
the date was.
Well,
I didn't think so. All right. Last week, Lee, you gave us all kinds of hope and delight when you said the wrong team was favored. And the Jaguars apparently didn't agree with you based on the way they played. Let's start
they
off.
They certainly let everyone down, so we'll see if they can do a little better this week.
Well, for your clients, you had your 7th winning week out of 8 last week. Let's start things off. San Diego is giving up 13 to the Jaguars. Let's get right to the heart of the matter here. This is a defense that hasn't stopped anybody. They've historically had problems winning in California on the West Coast. It's a tough trip for any team to go cross country. We're talking here with David Garrard about that a little while ago. Not too many indicators point the Jaguars' way other than the fact that Blake Bortles will get the start after a full week's worth of first-team reps. How do you see this game going?
I think they'll score some points here. The problem is, do you want to take a team that right now is going to face a team that's red hot. And the Chargers are clicking on all cylinders. Their defense is, they're putting pressure on the quarterback, not allowing many open receivers. I mean, the windows to complete passes are very, very small. And that's going to be tough for a rookie quarterback. I think eventually he's going to be the right guy. But, you know, this is a defense that held Seattle and Buffalo to 290 yards per game. They've held a 46-32 first down advantage. Now they're going to have to throw the ball more. They've lost their top two running backs, at least their starter, for a long time. So laying double digits in the NFL, normally a recipe for disaster, but I just don't see anything right now that the Jaguars have shown that makes me want to back him here. I have San Diego winning this game here, 31-10.
Lee, a critical game in the NFC North with Chicago playing host to Green Bay. Green Bay trying to avoid falling to 1-3 to start the season. If they lose this game in Chicago, they're going to be two games back of the Bears. They're in that division as well. The Packers, a 1.5-point favorite on the road against the Chicago Bears, obviously dealing with some injuries of their own. How do you see this game playing out?
I think this is going to be one of the best games of the weekend. And I think you're going to see a different Green Bay team. I think with Brian Beluga back on the offensive line, I think he makes the running game go. I think he solidifies their pass protection. I look for them to give the ball to Eddie Lacy a lot more. I think he's the guy that needs to get going. Just 77 yards on the ground. So he's averaging just 3.1 yards per rush. I think he's underperformed, but I think they're going to really try to ride him here. Chicago run defense has not been good. Third and long situations, they're fine, but you get them in second and three, second and four, they can be exposed there. And I think Rodgers might have a big game. Chicago, everyone thinks of them being tough at home, but how about this? The last 11 games at Soldier Field, just 1-9-1 against the spread. And a great game. I think Green Bay ends up on top, 31-27.
All right, let's take a look at one more here, Lee, from the National Football League. San Francisco giving up 5.5 to the undefeated Philadelphia Eagles. Do the Eagles keep their role going, or do the 49ers slow it this weekend?
What's interesting, a lot of people don't realize what kind of role Philly's been on. Yeah, they lost the playoff game at home last year, but they've won 10 of the last 11 regular season games. I mean, everyone talks about Seattle. Everyone's talking about San Diego now, even Cincinnati in the AFC, but Philadelphia right now in the regular season is playing extremely well. Don't have the power running game, but using the screen game. Their quarterback can throw real well between 5 and 20 yards. San Francisco, this is a circle wagons type of game here. What leads me to believe this team has problems, I'm watching their secondary, still allowing a lot of big plays, and they lead the league in penalties. They are not disciplined. I think the wrong team's favorite, guys. I have Philadelphia winning the game outright, 30-27.
All right, 30-27. Eagles getting 5.5. Play the money line, make a little cash on that one. Game of the week is the New Orleans Saints -3 versus the Dallas Cowboys, Lee. Tell folks how they can get that game and how they can get hooked up with you at Paramount Sports.
Well, the first 5 callers who call right now will get it for free. Great game here. New Orleans needs the win. Dallas, all of a sudden playing well, 2-1 at home. First 5 callers get New Orleans and Dallas for free. 800-400-9741. Again, the number 800-400-9741 to get New Orleans and Dallas for free. And guys, it's my most popular and my most successful weekend. It seems like every year it's my Baker's Dozen. 13 games, 1 tonight, 9 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday, just $97. It's normally $197. Two of the last 3 years, we've gone 12-1 and 11-2 on this promotion. Everyone waits for it. It's finally here. Use coupon code SAVE100 at ParamountSports.com or call 800-400-9741.
All right, 800-400-9741, the number for Lee Sterling and Paramount Sports. First 5, get New Orleans, Dallas absolutely free, and use promo code SAVE100 at ParamountSports.com and get the Baker's Dozen this week. Lee, good luck getting your 8th winning week out of 9. We'll talk to you next Friday, buddy.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, there he goes, Lee Sterling on the Garber Auto Mall hotline. We got to take a break. All hail the cat. All right, every bad thing I've said about Jacksonville, I take it back. For the next hour, okay, is absolutely taken back for the next hour. Tony, I thought we were without the Golf Channel here in the studio.
We got it.
The cat has remedied the situation. I've got Ryder Cup action. We've got David Garrard in the house. We got Fat Tony. We got a crowd gathering now to watch the United States rally and knock off the dirty Euros in the Ryder Cup and reclaim the trophy.
Hope you're listening, Irish Jaguar.
So rightfully blind. That's right. You're today. Smack. You're a dirty Euro Irish Jaguar. And that's right. I said it. Don't spike my beer when I come over to London, please. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back live in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. It is Jaguars Today here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right. Caught Nolan Cadillac Friday continues here. Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony. It is a fun show today, man. It's like open house, right?
Yeah.
Jaguar open house. Whoever wants to stop by.
A lot going on.
Say hello. The cat had to get out of here lest he curse on the air. He's a man after my own heart with the Ryder Cup passion, man. I love that.
He's serious about it. I like it.
He is pissed at Bubba Watson right now. Bubba, take it more seriously. Come on. We're certainly doing that. The Euro's up right now. I don't think this is going to get him. I mean, you know what I mean? Tweak him. But Irish Jaguar, just, we're talking smack to him. He tweeted, scoreboard. I tweeted, Revolutionary War. I get it. We weren't fighting Ireland. It's the same concept. We're fighting. It's the Euros, okay?
Yeah, and he actually responded that he thinks we were on the same side.
We probably were. We probably were.
And I responded, this is America. We assume all of you over there are simpatico.
We'll fight you all right now, okay, Ireland? Let's go. My dad's from Ireland. I'll fight him, too. He's
there's
dead.
America, and then there's the rest of you guys.
That's right. It's all about America today, Irish Jaguar. All right, like I said, please don't spike my Guinness with anything untoward when I come over there later on. David Garrard's here. If you want to get on board, 641-1010. Donovan Darius popping by today, showing off that Sports Emmy Award. Dave, beyond this week, schedule will lighten up for the Jacksonville Jaguars. You start off with Philly on the road, division champ. Washington was a winnable game. Still think, I mean, you look at the way the season's playing out for them. That was a winnable game. But you get Indy at home. They were the favorites in the division. You got a playoff team on the road from last year in San Diego. Starting week 5, it's going to soften up a little bit. Let's get this one out of the way. Blake Bortles gets a start under him. Do you see elements that you think will start to pick up with this team, whether it's this young wide receiver core clicking with their quarterback, whatever it is? Does this team have an opportunity to get on a little bit of a roll somewhere earlier than they did last year when they started off 0-8?
You know, it's tough to say it because you haven't really seen a whole lot besides that first quarter, that first half in the first game. But I think with Blake being out there, like you were just saying, he's going to get on a good little roll with his receivers. I think they're going to get a good little repertoire going. You can see it in the pass game with him and Cecil when he ran that fade and he just skinnied up inside of the DB. Blake saw it, still threw it on time, and it was accurate with it. I think with his ability to move around the pocket, his ability to move around the field, to keep the chains moving with the approach of, let's just go out here and play ball. I'm going to throw the ball. I'm going to have some bad plays, have some good plays. He'll start developing over time to have better calculated moments for risk management, if you will. But he's still going to chuck it around. That's what Peyton did. That's what all the young guys are going to do. But if they don't shore up things on the defensive side, it's going to be another long season. And, yes, eventually they'll get into a place where they are competitive. That's what I want to see. And I've been saying that for the last few years now. You just want to see them competitive and not having these 44-10 games, you know, where they're down 30 in the first half. When you don't have those moments, when you don't have those games, and you see a battle all the way into the fourth quarter, you almost have to count them as wins, you know, which is sad because you shouldn't
have. There are no moral victories in this
league. You shouldn't have any moral victories, but we almost need some, you know, and
I think for Jag fans, and I'm not trying to speak for Jag fans, but I think that somewhat, you know, there's a feeling of dissatisfaction that they had to wait 2.5 games to see Blake Bortles. But the moral victory was, hey, we got him out there. He performed well. Sure, he made some mistakes. He raised the energy level of the team. He raised the productivity of the team. Most importantly, they were able to win the second half of that football game. And you could talk all about, you know, a team's motivation when they're up 30-0 at the half.
Yeah.
Whatever. But all he could do is go out there and play that 30 minutes of football and he gave you hope. So you've got that, and you've got the idea of watching his first start ever, and then you'll have the idea of being at his first home start ever. If they don't show something, though, in those two games, man, if you're a Jaguar fan, you're thinking, what right now in the short term do I have to look forward to?
I think we'll see a lot after this game. You know, you'll be – you. They might not blow you away with, you know, racking up touchdowns and holding San Diego to, you know, very few touchdowns. But you're going to see some of the excitement that Blake can bring. You're going to see some plays being made, some almost plays being made where you're like, okay, when he starts completing those or he starts making those kind of plays happen, you're going to see a lot after this game going into the next game at home or wherever it is. So there's going to be a good judge of what's to come after this game. So I'm excited to just get this game going, you know, for him, for the team, for this community, because we need something. After what we saw last week, we got a little taste in the second half of what we can see, hopefully, for the future. But this game will be a great little telling for the rest of the season.
Coming out of the Washington game, they give up the 10 sacks in week two and all that. It was really difficult to find a bright spot. But if there was one, it was maybe, okay, Allen Robinson got some more playing time and made some catches. His targets went up again last week. He produced. Blake took the shot that got picked off, but he took a shot to him. I talked with Allen this week about that. He loves the fact that he's got a quarterback who's willing to put himself in that situation where, you know what, you go fight the defensive back for the ball. You don't have to be open by 2 yards. I'm still going to trust you to make that that play for me.
Absolutely. And then you want to see him go and make sure that nobody catches it but him. So that's where he has to help his quarterback out. But you're right. I didn't get to see him very much because I don't think he played any of the offseason.
Hardly.
Yeah, so having him, and because him and Hearns are two big guys, that's great. And then you have a little bit of a changeup with Marquise whenever he gets back out there.
And Cecil as well.
And then Cecil
yep.
is just a kind of solid overall kind of guy. You're definitely going to see good improvements as the weeks go on with the receivers. It'll help when they get Mercedes back out there. It's tough that he's going to be gone for, you know, another month or so. That would help them out as well, having a good tight end that can catch some passes to help your young quarterback out, because tight end is a great position to help the quarterback when he's sitting there over the middle. He's a big body. Now, you do have receivers that are, you know, almost that size.
Sure.
So that'll help as well.
Well, if you are the Jags, though, like this past week, they had nothing out of the tight end position. Hopefully, Clay Harbor will be able to play and give them something. Would you almost have been better off just saying, you know, let's put another lineman on the field because we're not getting anything in the receiving game and we're getting killed in pass protection with Marcel Jensen right now?
Yeah, you really would. We had that. Quite often, Jordan Black was, you know, our big tight end when I was out there, and he actually caught a couple passes, which was, you know, kind of rare, and you don't really want to throw it to a lineman, but, you know, that, it just shores up your offensive line, a position on the field that is already struggling. You know, to add one more big guy out there can really help those guys pass off blocks, pass off guys that are, you know, doing, that are just killing them all day. It allows other guys to double team, you know, more prolific defensive end or defensive tackle. So there's definitely good things that can come from adding another offensive lineman out there. And then, like you're saying, just keep your receivers out there and just give them all the work. You know, I think everybody sees right now that I'm not going to say things are lost, but they don't look good. So let's just get these young guys some great reps. Let's get them some more work. I heard Nard Robinson's going to get some more work. That's great. I still think they need to use him more in space. You know, stop sending him downhill like he's a 230-pound running back. Get some jet sweeps going. Didn't he throw the ball a little bit in college? Can't we, you know,
a little bit, yeah.
reverse him around or pitch him the ball and let him take a shot or something like that? There's definitely ways to be able to use him. I mean, if you just look, they mirrored Seattle's defense for our defense. Let's take a little bit of their offense, too. I mean, they jet sweep Percy Harvin
I think that's all he does.
At least half the plays. I mean, he runs through the formation. Yeah. On maybe
and they're not always giving him the ball, but he's a threat, and so the defense has to put their eyes on him. I think if you give the ball to Denard on a few of those, now he's on the edge. Now he can use that speedy ass.
And very similar, their quarterback is a mobile quarterback. So
absolutely.
You've got, and it's not that Russell Wilson is running some kind of read option to take off and run. He will run when the play dictates it, you know, more when he sees he can just run for an easy first down. But it's just, he moves the pocket and extends the play. So you got to worry about Percy coming through. You got to worry about Lynch coming up the middle. And then you got to worry about Wilson pulling it back out and rolling out to the right. And, you know, who knows, run pass option at that point.
I'm going to say this for this game. I want to say, I bet you that the run game goes up quite a bit, because having Blake out there now, to have the little read option, now he's a threat.
Got to respect it.
Now you have to respect it. You have to have somebody that has to account for him, at least have their eyes on him when he does come off the fake. If he carries it out enough, you will see Toby and Denard be able to find some holes, because they're not able to just crash down. And if they do, if they say, you know what, we're just going to let Blake get out there and run around, if they do, he's a fast guy. He can get out there and pick up some good chunks. So I would say the run game is going to pick up this weekend.
All right, today the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight asked folks to weigh in with their three keys to victory, both via Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at DavidGerard9, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, and also on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. We'll take a look at some of your responses to that coming up also. David Garrard's business endeavors. What does he have in the pipeline? We'll talk about that and get some final predictions on Jacksonville and San Diego coming up. It's Jaguars Today on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, what's going to happen here, Tony, just because I have a feeling, is that the United States comeback is on right now. We're seeing the Euros miss some putts, and all the blame goes on Irish Jaguar, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think he'll be to blame?
Started the smack talk, and it's been all
the mighty
downhill.
Afternoon session collapse.
That's
by
right.
By the European side. He's probably right. We're probably allies for the entirety of our history. Not today, pal! All right, it's Ryder Cup time, baby. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you. We will get to the fan feedback spotlight. I don't want to forget about this. We talked to Donovan about all the irons he's got going to the fire. You're an entrepreneur yourself. You've got, I know you're very proud. I can't believe your gyms are not open yet, because it looks like you live every second of the day inside them. But tell us what you've got coming here to Jacksonville.
Yeah, Retro Fitness, Harbor Village. That's in the same little shopping center as Stein Mart and Whole Foods over by Queens Harbor.
Okay.
We took over the space where I think it was Big Air. And we took over that little kid's bouncy house spot there. And we're opening up our doors probably first early part of December, and it's going to be a great gym. We're going to start pre-sales here in a couple weeks.
What's the angle? I mean, is it year subscriptions? Is it month to month? Is it kind of a la carte? How you like to do it? Give some details.
Yeah, it's year. It's $20 a month, so it's very affordable. The best thing about ours and say another gym is, it's affordable, but we give you all the high quality stuff, all the high quality machines, with all the TVs in your cardio machines. We do a lot of cutting edge stuff, a lot of functional training in our gym. So it's really cool. We have a little theater in our gym where you can do your cardio and watch a great movie at the same time. Yeah. Harbor Village, our gym there, is going to have a mezzanine, so there'll be cardio equipment upstairs that you can look down over the gym in.
Look down on all the peons.
Yeah. That's always a nice little feature.
I used to work at the World Gym when they had one at San Jose and Bay Meadows, and they had that set up up there, and I loved it.
Yeah, so and we're going to have some things probably where we move outside in the back, too, with, the whole CrossFit phase is a pretty cool thing. We'll have something similar, more functional training, I like to call it, because CrossFit is kind of they have their own trademark and all that stuff, so we're not going to be paying to have CrossFit in there. So.
I gotcha.
But it's going to be a great gym for the whole family. We do have childcare. We do have tanning.
So there are definitely things that, you know, we'll bring in. We have a smoothie bar. It's going to be a destination. We want it to be a place that you come in, you hang out, you get a good workout in, you don't feel like you got to rush right out the door. If you want to hang around and watch the TVs, you can do that as well.
All right. Retro Fitness. Look for that early December, hopefully. And,
Obviously, but you can sign up early. We're going to start having our pre-sales in a couple weeks.
Just let us know, and we'll be sure to pass that along as soon as soon as that opportunity becomes available. Obviously, you're in here as much as we can get you in, and that's absolutely fantastic, man, and hopefully great success in all your business endeavors. Today, the Fan Feedback Spotlight asked for keys to victory. I see Tony's fist pumping over there. What do we have going on here, Tony?
Pyrrhic, they just won that hole.
Nice. All right, so they cut into the lead. Americans on a little bit of a run in the last 20 minutes against the Euros in the Ryder Cup right now, and we're actually up in one match. Rory McIlroy and Sergio Garcia are down. They lost this morning. That's supposed to be the unbeatable duo, and we're within one in two of the other three matches right now. So tightening things up a little bit over in Scotland. The Fan Feedback Spotlight asking for keys to victory for your Jacksonville Jaguars. Tony, what did we get today?
Here's what we got from Eric. Bortles has to play well, have to defend Gates, and there has to be a threat of the run. Hashtag not much. From Nick, we got get pressure on Rivers, cover Gates and Green, let Blake be Blake, hashtag sacks are king, hashtag have fun. From Jason, jump on it, ride it, Blake Bortles, hashtag Jaguars today. From Punisher, we got Bortles to Hearns, Bortles to Shorts, Bortles to Robinson for six. From Stevie Howland at Irish Jaguar, cover the expletive tight end, force San Diego to respect both pass and rush, and Blake Bortles. From Double C, we got Jags need to cover the expletive tight end, slot receiver, and back out of the backfield. From Peter, we got find a beast mode in Toby, precision airstrikes from B2 Bomber, sack Rivers. From Christoph, stop the run, stop 17 and 85. That's Rivers and Gates. Number three, win.
Win is a key to victory. Outscore the opponent. That's always big. I got these on Facebook. From John Lowry, convert third downs, protect Bortles, defense has to make turnovers, LOL. I think it's that in response right to his belief that they're able to accomplish that. I don't know, but I think those are pretty reasonable. Create some short fields would certainly help, like we saw in the first game of the season. From Don and Fuego, aggressive play calling on offense, more Denard, cover somebody, anybody, the free valet service to the end zone has to stop. Doug Armantrout just went with pray. He only wrote it once. I assume he's going to pray three times. Let's see. John Paulin said, lose the key that starts the plane to San Diego. Ouch. And Alan Wynn said, the three keys are the key that locks Antonio Gates in a closet, the key that locks Philip Rivers in a closet, and the key that locks Winston Guy in a closet. Ouch.
Wow.
Hashtag Jaguars today. So
I got to tell you, Green scares me more than Gates in this game. The guy that can get downfield has been a real issue for this team, and we talked about it earlier this week. They've had problems with assignments when they have multiple guys running in the same area of the field. They're just not covering one of those guys, and Green's ability to get downfield is scary. He's a fast, big dude.
Did you see how wide open Fleener was last week? So Gates is not going to drop that pass, and if he gets that wide open multiple times, it's going to be a field day. So they're right about Gates, but Green, I'd worry about him too.
Well, they threw to three different tight ends. I mean, you know, they did whatever they wanted to. Green got more looks in the passing game last week. Got six targets from Philip Rivers after basically being ignored for the first couple weeks
right
of the season. Look, whether I don't know if there's one I'm worried more about. I think it, you know, if it's gone the way, if it goes the way it's gone up till now, it's kind of pick your poison.
Yeah, for
Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers looked physically shot a couple of years ago to me. You know,
he had so many turnovers, so many interceptions, and you think, man, he might be out the door here pretty soon. And last year he turned it up, and this year he started off red hot as well.
What is it?
He fumbled a snap on Monday Night Football that could have potentially sent San Diego to the playoffs. I mean, if they make a field goal in that situation, he just fumbled the snap when he was just trying to take a knee in the middle of the field and then kick the field goal. It was unbelievable. I've never seen that kind of play. And that was in the middle of a year where he's turning the ball over 20 times or something like that. Just not what we're used to from him. And then last year, that bounce back year was huge.
Never was, you know, never had the Aaron Rodgers arm, but it looked like he couldn't drive the ball at all. You know, it looked like he was in Chad Pennington territory. Now, I guess it's just, Dave, you play long enough. You're so smart. You know where your guys are supposed to be. That makes up for a lot.
I think that year he was in a system with Norv Turner. I think it was just, it was the system was past his prime, and he was trying to do too much, thinking too much, realized that he knew the system like the back of his hand, but wasn't completing things like he wanted to. And I just think he needed a change of scenery, even though he didn't change teams, change systems. He's fresher now. He's got to concentrate a little bit more. You can get complacent when you've been in a system for so long. You just take things for granted. And I think that is what was happening that year.
The fan feedback spotlight, by the way, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, asking fans daily what drives you. And the family of dealerships includes Tom Bush Volkswagen, Tom Bush Mini, Tom Bush BMW, Tom Bush Mazda. The next time you're in the market for a newer pre-owned vehicle, check out TomBush.com, and you can follow them on Twitter as well for all the latest at Tom Bush Motors. All right, Dave, we're talking about keys to victory. What are the two or three things that, if the Jags are going to make this a four-quarter game, whether they win or not, what are the things you'll be looking for them to accomplish?
Well, honestly, if we really want them to be able to cover their receivers and Gates and those guys, they've got to get some kind of pass rush. They've got to make Phillip Rivers move in the pocket. He's still going to be pretty good. He still can get the ball out of his hands pretty good. But if they can get some hits on him, they can get a couple sacks on him, then that will give us a chance. If we can get our run game going, that is going to help Blake out so much. If we can move the chains some with the running game, and then, like somebody said, Blake, just go have fun. Blake, be Blake. Make the plays. Make your mistakes. But I think he'll have more better plays than he will have plays that will hurt us.
Play fearless, right?
Yeah.
Play free and loose, and just let it rip, man. Because at this point, I think it's just, you know, that's what we want to see. It's not because we want to see it, but I think, look, you know, the conservative style, Gus Bradley talked about Henny needed to drive the ball down the field, be willing to try to drive it down the field more. I think they so ingrained to him the mindset of, if this defense plays and keeps us in games, just don't make mistakes. Young team, don't make mistakes. And Blake's just coming in there, and he's like, man, I'm just going to let it rip.
Yeah.
You know, and that's right now for this team, I think that's exactly what they need to have occur. Tony, for you, anything to add to those?
Well, for me, it's not so much keys to how this team's going to win this game. I mean, this is a really, really difficult game. If Seattle's going to have problems going into San Diego and winning a game, I think that they're probably the best team in the league. And it's tough to make that trip to San Diego and come out with a victory. So for me, it's more about what I just want to see coming out of this football game. Obviously, Blake Bortles, it was fun watching the tape of him in the second half. And we talk about these tight windows and everything that he's going to have to deal with a bunch of young receivers. He's willing to throw the ball into those tight windows already. So I hope that continues going forward. Obviously, looking forward to seeing a full game of him. But for me, I want to see consistent pressure from that defense, because we expected it when the season started. Are they going to get that worked out? And more importantly, just let's get through a game where everyone plays their assignment on the snap. On defense, if they lose the game, okay. I don't want to see them lose the game because they gave up three big plays where they just have guys running wide open again. Then they can't get blown out because they have three guys running wide open because somebody just didn't do what they're supposed to do in the defense again. Let's just get it figured out to the basic point of, if this is my job on this play, that's what I'm going to do. And if a man's making the tackle 20 yards downfield because they ran a play better than I could cover it, fine. As long as it's not making a tackle 60 yards downfield or watching them celebrate in the end zone, those are the things for me that I would like to see coming out of this game.
All those things that both you guys listed, I mean, there's so many of them, and that's the issue here. But get off the field on third down, too.
Please.
I mean, you know, get off the field on third down, and on the other hand,
get to third down.
Get to third down. But even when they did, Dave, there was too much of Andrew Luck being able to just, you know, look back and forth across the field. So get to third down. Get the third down and manageable offensively and convert. Okay, terrible converting third down so far this year. And that might be a case of Blake Bortles, use your feet. I mean, I think that's an area. Third and five or less, look for him to convert some of those with his feet. And regardless of whatever it takes, convert more third downs And when you've got the opportunity to get San Diego off the field, you have to take advantage.
For some reason, I have the feeling, I think it was last year when we played the Broncos, and they had the spread of at like 50 points or something like that.
It's 23, I think.
I have the feeling that we're going to have the same kind of situation where we go out and actually play pretty good, and it's going to be a closer game than everybody thinks. For some reason, maybe that's just the optimistic in me, but I feel like we're going to have that kind of situation.
You're starting to believe, David.
Come on. Let's go.
Go ahead, call. Guaranteed a power table.
No, not a win, but just close.
Close.
Moral victory.
No moral victories, but how about a step in the right direction? And nobody here wouldn't love to see the Jags come home with a 1-3 record.
No doubt.
When they land late Sunday night here.
We might show up at the airport and cheer them in.
That'd be great. David Garrard has said he...
Someone might show up.
Dave Garrard has said someone. Might, maybe Donovan Darius will show up at the airport to cheer him up. He'll have a sports Emmy to inspire them. Congrats to Double D again, man. That is absolutely tremendous. Enjoyed having him in the Garber Auto Mall hot seat today. Donovan Darius, thanks to Lee Sterling for Paramount Sports on the Garber Auto Mall hotline today. We appreciate Claude Nolan Cadillac. They bring you the show every Friday, and all of our fantastic sponsors. David Garrard, good to see you. Do a few push-ups, all right, between now and next week. All right?
This is my off day.
Letting yourself go to waste over there. Unbelievable. For Fat Tony, for Lauren Brooks, who's got the day off, catch her this afternoon with the Helmets and Heels ladies, filling in for Frank and crew here on 1010XL. For Joe Fortunato and for Andrew Gibson, I'm Mike Dempsey. This has been Jaguars Today, and we'll say hello to the boys of XL Primetime coming up next on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.